Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And we want to welcome you to Cowboy Church. We have a very special program for you. It's part one of two series, a special for Thanksgiving. And Russ, come on, tell us what's going to happen.
Well, Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays because, of course, we get to eat around the table, visit with all the family.
Yeah.
But a few years ago, Thanksgiving was changed to the third Thursday in the month.
You know, I just have to look on the calendar to even know. I don't know any of that
stuff. Well, it used to be the fifth Thursday.
Really?
And then it got moved to the third Thursday, and it caused a big uproar.
Well, you told me a few minutes ago that it was a lady that sang or that wrote Mary Had a Little Lamb was the one during Abraham Lincoln's presidency that got Thanksgiving as a regular holiday.
Yes, she got it a national holiday.
Well, God
so
bless
Mary
her.
Had a Little Lamb.
Yeah.
And, yeah. But then later on, I believe it's in the 20s, they decided to move it to the third Thursday to give more time for Christmas holidays.
Yeah.
It caused a big uproar, and so they decided to compromise and put it back to the fourth Thursday, not the last Thursday of the month.
Okay.
And so that was the compromise, and that became the national holiday. But you know what Texans did?
What?
During that time, while the big uproar is going on, we just had Thanksgiving both Thursdays.
Well, what a way to go. Just have pumpkin pie all the time.
Well, in keeping with the tradition that was set then, we're having two programs of Thanksgiving.
So sit back, relax, grab a piece of that pre-Thanksgiving pumpkin pie.
Or pecan.
You ain't going to want to miss this.
I did a hymns album a few years ago, and I got to researching the stories of how they were written, and about 99.9 of them were written in really hard times when, you know, How Great Thou Art, and In the Garden, and Rock of Ages, and all of these types of songs, and this one was no exception. The guy that wrote this, his name was Tommy Dorsey, and I'm not talking about the one that you would probably think of. He was an evangelist, and he was a great musician, and his wife, Nettie, was expecting their first child, but he had a meeting to go to. He was very driven. So he got into his Model A, and he left her there, and he says, I'll be back. And he went to Chicago, and he had this meeting. I can just see them on the stage or on the pulpit, you know, and they were doing their evangelistic meeting, and all of a sudden a person came to him with a telegram, and it said, your wife, Nettie, has died in childbirth. She went into labor and had the baby. By the time he got back home, the baby had died too, and he went into this terrible depression, and he wouldn't sing, he wouldn't play, but his piano teacher, the one who had schooled him, had mentored him, was very, very wise. He finally got him into a room, and he had a piano there. And he felt like, as much of a musician that he was and a person that expressed his emotions through his music, if he could just begin to get him to play his piano, he would be able to release that torture in his heart of losing his family. So he sat down one time and he started playing, and the words of this song came to him, the melody and everything. He said, Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on and just help me to stand. I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm worn. Through the storms, through the night, lead me on to your light. Precious Lord, take my hand. I don't know about you, but that makes the songs that I sing come alive for me. And that those people in their torment and in their heartache wrote these types of songs that have ministered to so many people.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, and I am worn. precious Lord, and lead me home. When my way grows dread, precious Lord, linger near. When my life, oh, my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand, lest I fall, and take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home. When the shadow shadows appear, and the night draws near, and my faith, oh, the faith I had is gone. At the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, precious Lord, take and lead me home.
Precious Lord,
take my hand,
take my hand.
Lead me home, help me stand. Oh, I am tired, I am weak, and I am one. And through the storms and through the night, lead me home to your life.
Take my hand,
precious Lord, and lead me home. Through the storms and through the night, lead me home to your life.
Take my hand,
precious Lord, and lead me home. Though you know it wasn't written for you, but tell me, how can you stand there with your broken heart, ashamed of playing the fool? One thing can lead to another. It doesn't take any sacrifice. Oh, father and mother, sister and brother, if it
shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel.
Things are gonna work out fine if you only will.
Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. And things are gonna
if you won't. It always gets the grease. It's better to
shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel.
And things are gonna work out fine if you only will.
Shower the people you love with love. And show them things are gonna
much better.
Doug and Valerie had us over to their house one day. They said, come over and spend some time with us. And we were always welcome to be there. But do you know where they learned that? Jasper and Velma Weaver. We got to shower the people that we love with the love that's been shed abroad in our heart. Where did Jasper and Velma get it? Someone probably showed them. But ultimately, it comes from God. Because God gave His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross at Calvary so that we could have His love.
Woman, shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. Shower the people you love with love. Show them.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to be talking about Thanksgiving for just a little while. How many of you had relatives to your house for Thanksgiving? How many of you went to some relatives' house for Thanksgiving? Oh, good, good. Kind of a half and half. Kind of. How many have got it at home and at relatives' house? You had to go two places? Yeah, yeah. Those were always my favorite. But now that I'm older, I can't eat that much. So it's nice to just have it in one place. And man, we had such a great time. I'm going to talk about being thankful. I think being thankful is a learned trait. I think it's something that has to be practiced just like every other endeavor that is worthwhile. That, you know what happens naturally, this is a natural thing that happens, is whining and griping and complaining. That happens so naturally. I mean, if you're not careful, it sneaks up on us. It gets a hold of people. It gets a hold. I have to watch it myself. Just so you know, I don't want you to feel really bad because you're whining and griping and complaining, because every once in a while I have to fight that just like everybody else. It's just part of our old sinful carnal nature. But being thankful now never happens without practicing it. It never happens without us making a decision to go, you know what? I've got something to be thankful for. It's a progressive thing. And I think it mostly happens when people get a hold of God and realize what life is really about, and they begin to work it. So I'm going to just give you just some open staples about being thankful, and then I'm going to give you some information on how to incorporate thankfulness into your life. How many would like to just be that kind of person? Yeah, I would too. Now, when my kids were growing up, and they had got to the age where they were starting to venture out of the house, Jordan took off to Colorado for the summer because he's gonna make his money rodeoing. You know, he's headed to Colorado, and he's made plans to go to Colorado. And a little interesting thing happened is our horse situation went to nothing. So he takes a young horse that is just barely ready to. No, he's not ready at all. I mean, he's just, hopefully, maybe he could be ready if, you know, that kind of deal. Takes him up there. He's gonna make his living rodeoing, and his horse situation is bad. And he got discouraged. And he's talking to me about it. And I said, you know, Jordan, and I don't remember all the conversation, but I do remember that I tried to encourage him. I tried to encourage him, tell him to be thankful, because I said, I know that I'm your dad, and if there's any way in the world I could make a way for you to have a calf rope and horse at this time in your life, you know that I would do anything I could. I just can't. We were at a point where our hands are tied and we could not do the horse deal. I don't know I didn't understand the reason why, but I told him this. I said, you know how much I love you. And God loves you more. And if you don't have a horse at this time of your life, and it didn't help him when he got there, a guy asked him, he says, didn't your dad rodeo? He said, yeah. He says, how come he sends you up here with a horse like this? So, I mean, the devil knows how to just add discouragement when God's trying to put you through some boot camp basic training lessons. So he's going through it. So I told him, I said, as much as I love you, God loves you more. And it's nothing for God to have a horse for you. So there's something good that God's trying to do in your life. And all we have to do is figure out what it is. I said, but we need to be grateful for what he's doing in your life. And he said, Dad, I'm kind of tired of your pie in the sky kind of approach to life. He said, this is reality. And he says, you need to start dealing with reality. You know how kids do. They're straightforward to you. And he wasn't being mean or rude or ignorant. It was just he was sick and tired of the situation he's in. As legit. His situation was not a good situation. And he was just expressing himself that way. And I said, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to be grateful because God's got a bigger picture in mind than what you do. And if you'll tap into what God's doing in your life, in the long run, it's going to be so much better for you. Well, this year, what I'm so thankful for is at this age that he is, in his mid-30s, that this year he sold, I don't know how many thousands of dollars of horses that he's bought, inexpensive, he's developed, and he sold them for big. You know what God was trying to do 15, 16 years ago? He was trying to bring something in him that would be positive later. And it didn't happen through an easy process. But let me tell you, folks, we need to learn to be thankful in the situation we're in because you can trust God. Amen. And so I'm gonna challenge you. I'm not gonna instruct you on necessarily how to go about this, but I'm gonna challenge you because you're gonna get your own set of circumstances. Your own set of circumstances, your own life, and all of the things that go with it. And in the middle of that, the great challenge is going to be, how am I going to figure out how to be thankful in this situation? The only way you can is to begin to understand what God is doing in this situation. Sometimes you have to look back and see it. Ah, I get it now. But you learn to trust where you're at now because you get experiences. Well, let's go through being thankful. I just give you some scriptures. You'll probably want to write these down. Is it when to be thankful at Thanksgiving? Well, that's a given. That's not in the Bible. Just for those of you who think that I always just teach straight Bible stuff, there are a few things that go with it that's really good for you too. But in the Bible, it does say, James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, that trials and testing, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And I know you don't want to pray for patience, but let me tell you, you don't have to. You're going to get a chance to improve it just with life. So when the times to be thankful is during trials and tribulations. Let's scroll through these pretty fast. Through pain and distress. In Colossians 1:12, it's talking about what Paul went through, and it says, he sums it up in verse 12. He says, giving thanks to the Father, giving what? Thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. That's in Colossians 1:12. The next place is in all circumstances. You know, we can detail all of these things, but really what you need to know is in all things. And it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. Now, it doesn't say thanks for everything. It says in everything. In everything, give thanks. No matter where you're at, and sometimes, guys, just the whole idea of comparisons will help you. Well, at least it's not That's not a bad way to say give thanks. I mean, it's easier for most people because they always see the bad stuff. And if you see that, well, it's, at least it's not that, then it's not so bad. That'll kind of help tweak the plane and get it going back in the right direction. Keep it from crashing, keep it in the air. Why to be thankful? It's an indescribable gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15, it says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That's why we should be thankful. His indescribable gift is that God sent his own son to die on the cross for our sins so that we could be righteous, because in order to be in the presence of the Almighty God, we have to be righteous. Jesus made us righteous through his righteousness, and now we can communicate with the Father. That's the indescribable gift. Why would you do that? Just try to figure out. And you can't describe it enough to make it worthwhile. You just have to be thankful. Just thankful for that. Why to be thankful? Because God is working in us. In Philippians 2:13, it's, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. How many of you have kids? How many of you have had situations where you had to do something that they didn't want to do because it was for their good? Yeah, that's what that's saying. God is working in us for his good pleasure because he knows there's something in us and it pleases him for us to get right with him. Next, God is with us. Matthew 28:18-20, it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, teaching them, verse 20, to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You can be thankful because God's with you. Commit your life to Christ, he's with you. That's why we're thankful. The last one is in 1 Chronicles 29:12-14, it's God who gives us the ability to gain wealth and honor and everything. You can be thankful. Both riches and honor come from you. You reign over all, and your hand is power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. This is how to be thankful. This is the beginning of my message. Yeah, it's good to be thankful. It's good to understand the circumstances. When, why to be thankful, all of that sort of thing. But when it boils down to it, how do we learn to be thankful? That's the big question. I mean, if things are not going right, how do you step beyond your circumstances to get on top of things and step beyond them and above them so that you could be thankful in spite of them?
Thank you for your support for Cowboy Church. It's been wonderful to see the financial support come in. Because of you, we can stay on the air. You can write to us at the address shown on your screen right now. We love to hear from you. And we'll see you next time on Cowboy Church.